You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank yous for this episode go out to Typical Tyrant, Menok, Cornaphoros, Zerotio, Boticus, Wicked Good, Apex Predator, Mr. Jones, Chris M., Itamar, Not Rob, and Avantes. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. You can do so too at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and get some awesome perks in the process. Go ahead and check it out and join the team today. Hello and welcome to episode 118 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I am joined by none other than you. That's right, it's time for another solo cast. So excited to talk to you guys about Witchwood. I hope that you have recovered from listening to our entire Witchwood review. I know that I'm feeling much better, and Steve is as well. So it feels about right to take, you know, I guess I get a few days off since I did it a bit earlier than normal. But it's good to be back in the seat. It's good to talk with you guys. The meta has anything but settled. There is a ton of craziness out there. And today we're going to be looking through what has happened. We'll go through our typical meta breakdown, looking at all of the different reports that are out there and what we can see from them. I'll give you guys some recommendations. I'll also tell you what I have experienced, and it'll be a great time all around. But before I get into all of that, I gotta tell you exactly why I'm happy. I'm really happy because I got to spend some time with some guys who have become really good friends since moving out here to Colorado. They're all new friends, honestly, but they've become really close brothers. So we got to go skiing at Arapaho Basin, if you're familiar with the area. If you're not, it was just fantastic. So it had been snowing, actually, for about a day prior, which that means that the conditions for skiing are just perfect. The problem was that it was very, very cloudy and foggy. Well, I guess it's just cloudy because you're so high up there, but it feels like fog because you're just, you're in it. So it was honestly really difficult to see even a couple feet in front of you. So that upped the difficulty of the slopes that we were going down quite significantly. So my legs are still recovering from that, but it was a really good quality time to just get away and chill with some close friends. So really thankful that I got to do that. And also, I'm really thrilled I got to write an article for HS Replay. If you're not familiar with them, they actually do an incredible job of aggregating data in a similar way to Vicious Syndicate. And they just dissect it into a ton, so many different ways. It's ridiculous. And that's headed up by Chanman V, who's the host of Value Town. You might be familiar with that podcast. And so I reached out and asked, hey, I've got this idea for an article. Can I write it? And he said, sure, go for it. So that is live right now. And I'm just super honored that I got to publish that with them. So would definitely appreciate it. If you check it out, let me know what you think. I went in depth with the different tech choices that we're seeing for Spiteful Druid right now. And I especially wanted to talk about the things that you don't necessarily expect. So you should definitely check it because there are some wacky ones that I found. But it's a lot of good stuff. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. Or you can just go to articles.hsreplay.net to check it out. You'll find the big Spiteful Summoner picture, and that's me. My little icon's at the very bottom, little guy. So appreciate all of y'all's support on Twitter for spreading the word on that too, because it was just great opportunity. I'm looking forward to doing some more with them soon. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our news. We've got two huge pieces of news here that are really different sides of the coin. So we'll start it out by talking about Monster Hunt. So I mentioned in one of the review episodes that somehow I missed it, but they had planned for the single player content for Witchwood to be released after the expansion was released. So in the past, we've always gotten that single player content right in line with it. This is the first time they've delayed it, but honestly, I don't think anyone was upset about that pretty much. Monster Hunt is very similar to Dungeon Run in so much as it is a single player. You're going to be put up against some random opponents. But I really think that, especially with the details they've come out with, they are really honing their craft with this. I feel like this is probably the greatest single player content they've created yet. And I guess that's not really fair because Dungeon Run and Monster Hunt are so different from all the other stuff that they've done for a single player that it's probably not fair. But I will say that it contains some significant upgrades from the Dungeon Run experience. And we'll talk about some of those. Make sure that you know everything that's coming. Big thing for you to know is that it's coming out this Thursday. That would be April 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I think that's just in the Americas. I would be surprised if they were rolling it out at different times for different time zones, but I can't find it as I'm looking through here real quick. So I apologize to all the international listeners out there. But we're really excited for this. So we knew that you would be able to play with four different heroes that are going to have unique hero powers to this. So each of those heroes are based on a class that exists already, and they are legendary minions in the Witchwood expansion. So we've got Houndmaster Shaw, who's a hunter. We've got Darius Crowley, who's the warrior. Toki the Tinkmaster, who's a mage. And then Tess Greymane, who is rogue. But their hero powers are significantly switched up from what you would experience. So the one that was probably the simplest, I thought, was Houndmaster Shaw's. For two mana, you generate a 1/1 beast with rush. So that's going to enable a lot of different play style than Hunter typically would have. But it will synergize pretty well, too. So really excited to see that. Darius Crowley is the craziest because he has like this cannon that pops up and is unkillable, and his hero power will deal random damage. So it's sort of more like the Gunspire, I guess. And the one of the cool things that they mentioned, there's this video where Dave Kosak and some of the other mission designers break down a ton more info than I could possibly go into on here. But they said that there will be cards that are only available to that class or, you know, that kind of that deck in Dungeon Run. So they've got unique treasures like before, but they're also going to have unique cards that'll go into your deck to take advantage of certain things. Somehow Darius is able to get several of those cannons. So I assume that could be a specific treasure. Maybe there's a card that does something similar as well. Don't know for sure, but it's going to be really exciting to see all of the things because they gave us enough to tease us with information that was solid. But they also left kind of the ceiling open as far as how much stuff we just don't know. You know, we do not have a list of every single treasure that's going to be available in this game or what exactly the bosses are going to look like and stuff. So they did spoil a few of them and they look really cool. There's a huge flavor of Witchwood, obviously, that I think is a much more throughout every experience as opposed to the Dungeon Run. Dungeon Run, it kind of seemed like, let's throw all these guys in a dungeon and there's just random people in here, you know. But the Witchwood, it really feels like you're kind of on this mission. One of the really cool things that they mention is that the last boss is different depending on the character you choose. So Houndmaster Shaw, for instance, is always going to fight up against this specific eighth boss. I think it was Lord Godfrey, actually. I could be wrong about that. But so you actually can build your deck knowing what's going to come, which I think is a monumental upgrade because there were certain enemies, bosses that you would fight in Dungeon Run that would just shut you down. And you're trying to build something that's super powerful, but because you chose a deck full of spells, okay, you're up against the Trog Splint Setter or something like that. That's not his name at all, but hopefully you know what I'm talking about. It was just like, oh, you have spells. Okay, you lose. And so you'll actually know who that final boss is. There'll still be some random elements of who you fight between the beginning and the end, but at least you can sort of build knowing where you're headed to. And it's cool that there are going to be four of those different ones. And then if you defeat the final boss, that eighth boss, with each of those four characters, you'll unlock a special mission where all four of them will kind of band together to defeat Hagatha the Witch. I anticipate that is going to be a dastardly difficult mission. Like, I would not be surprised if this was the most difficult mission we've ever seen in single player content. And that's saying something, because there's been some tough stuff on Heroic and stuff like that. But this is just such a, it feels so significant that I can't imagine that this is going to be something that's easy to finish. On the opposite side, it's going to be something that is extremely difficult and really a badge of honor that it's like, man, I completed that. So really looking forward to all of that. I can't go into all of the insanity that's coming. There is a card back that you'll get that we've known about. It's the Monster Hunter card back. It's pretty cool looking. It's got like ammo on the tops and top and bottom and some scar marks and stuff like that. So you can be looking forward to that. I think that that's if you defeat the final that match with Hagatha. So you have to beat it with all four and then that final bonus mission. So really looking forward to all of that. If you haven't watched the video, go do it. I'll put the link in the show notes. And again, that's April 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific time that we'll be able to start doing some monster hunts. Really excited about that. The other news is extremely sad, and many of you know what it is already. Unfortunately, Ben Brode has decided to leave Blizzard. And this took the Twitter sphere by storm when he tweeted this out. His exact words were, "Today is my last day at Blizzard. Thank you for all the laughter and fun we shared. I will miss you." And he made a post in the forums to kind of explain it a bit more. I was talking with some friends about this. It's always hard seeing stuff like this because you never know 100% the story. But I feel like there's enough here of what Ben shared with us that this is really like a good, healthy move. What it sounds like is that Ben, you know, being in charge of Hearthstone, has gotten to a level where a lot of what he does is personnel management. You know, whenever you start leading other people, you become less involved with the specific decisions about, you know, game mechanics or this expansion, that expansion. Is this card too powerful, not powerful enough? All those conversations. And it becomes a lot more about enabling people and helping them kind of navigate decision making. And it sounds like Ben Brode is just really missing creating games. So what he mentions is that he is actually leaving Blizzard to start his own initiative with, it sounds like maybe with a person or two or something like that. I don't know how far they are into it, but that he's not leaving creating games. In fact, if anything, he's going back to his roots and really positioning himself in a way that he can actually do that. So it's obviously sad. Ben Brode has been just, you know, the face of Hearthstone. It's hard to say it any other way. And I really appreciate how he has brought a lot of the people on his team into the spotlight so that we don't feel like this game just hangs on him entirely. The reality is that it will be different because it won't be under his leadership. But I am one to think that it is not going to change significantly just because one person changes, even if it's as significant as he is. I don't like getting too far into politics, but you kind of think of it in some ways where the president of the United States has quite a bit of influence. It's hard to understate that. But is the country's decisions 100%, are the country's decisions 100% dependent on what he or she thinks? Absolutely not. So it's kind of similar with Ben Brode that it won't necessarily be exactly the same. But I really believe that we're going to continue to see the great content that comes forward in the future. And however the team looks moving forward, it's going to continue to be a game that we love and that we really cherish. Truly, no matter what the future of it looks like, the foundations of Hearthstone were laid by Ben Brode and a lot of the other team that are still there. So this game will not ever be free from the mark of that he's left on it. So Ben, I know we've terated you on Twitter just about as much as we can, but sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for what you have done for this game. And on behalf of all of us here at the Happy Hearthstone, we love you and we're really excited to see what comes from you in the future. We will be your number one fans no matter what you're creating. So I can't wait to see what comes up. And I'm sure that when they have made announcements about all that kind of stuff, we'll probably mention it on the show because I can imagine that whatever he creates next is going to be pretty fun. So we're definitely sad. We're definitely going to miss you, but we're really excited for what's to come. And that's about all I can say about that. Let's go ahead and take a quick sponsor break. I always have to thank our amazing patrons, especially during these episodes. Some of you guys might not know, if you're a newer listener, that weekly episodes are actually a very new thing for the Happy Hearthstone. We might have been around since the very beginning of the announcement of Hearthstone, but for a very long time, we just haven't been able to have the margin to create those weekly episodes. But thanks to our amazing patrons, we've been able to create that margin, and I've been so thankful for that so that I can create more great content for you guys. I love making these solo casts, and I hope you enjoy them as well. I hope they're beneficial. And if you have kind of been on the edge thinking about supporting the show, I really want to encourage you to go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone, look around, and find a plan that works for you. Patreon is a way to support this show monetarily so that it can continue to grow and so that we can do more. I've said it before, but the financial margin for the show creates time so that I can invest more for you guys. So if you enjoy this show, if you like listening to it, if it's something you listen to every week, consider even giving $1 a month. I love giving the shout outs on the show every week because you guys, no matter what the sacrifice is, are making those sacrifices so that the show can continue to grow. And starting at just $5 a month, you can get exclusive weekly content where right now I'm kind of going through our What's Changed series. We've done this before when expansions come out, talking about deck archetypes that were around before Witchwood, but now what has changed? There's been a lot of change because a lot of sets have become wild exclusive. They've rotated out of standard. But there's a plenty of new cards also to be had too. So really enjoying going through that. I actually talked about Spiteful Druid this past week because it was on my mind, obviously, and looking forward to creating some more of that for our patrons. So you can access all that stuff immediately if you start to pledge $5 or more a month. And really excited, I'm actually going to be giving away 7 packs of Witchwood to 2 different patrons for just to say thank you. And those are courtesy of Daring Alkaline. I'm so thankful that he gave those. So if you've been thinking about it, now's a great time to jump in so that you can get in on that raffle and be a part of the Happy Hearthstone moving forward. Speaking of which, we had an incredible showing from you guys for the 7 packs that we're giving away on social media. So I'm actually going to go ahead and draw for that right now. We had over 100 people retweeting and just spreading the word about the review episodes. I'm insanely thankful for that. So thank you guys for doing that. I wish I could give all of you 7 packs, but I cannot because I am not made of money, unfortunately, but I can give it away to one of you. So it looks like number 26 is the winning person. So drum roll, please. It's Flying Dingo HS. Congratulations. You got yourself 7 packs of Witchwood. So I'll go ahead and reach out to you on Twitter. Thanks so much again to everyone for participating in that. And Flying Dingo, hope you get a good legendary or some pretty golden cards. Be sure to share with us what you get from those. So we will be doing another raffle at the beginning of the month, I suppose. Yeah, because it's everybody who pledges during this month. So the first episode of May is when I will draw for those ones. So thanks again so much to everybody for participating in that. I have to give one more quick sponsor break shout out to our friends over at Gamer Sensei. We've just recently partnered with them. I'm really thrilled about this because they offer a great product. What they do is they connect you with professionals in the esports scene and allow you to get coaching from them that can help you get better. You know, we talk about it all the time on this show, and it's something I really try to bring to the table to help you guys get better. Nothing is ever going to help you more than actually having somebody sit down with you and talk you through a game. I love getting to do that with some of our patrons. Unfortunately, I can't replicate that a million times like I would want to. So I'm really excited that we can partner with Gamer Sensei to give you guys an outlet to still get some great coaching, and you can support the show through that. So any purchases you make through the link that's at our website, thehappyhearthstone.com/contribute, will help to support the show. So definitely go check that out. If you've been thinking about getting some lessons there, go and do it. I've actually still got a couple lessons I need to use with Phenom, so I'm really excited to learn from him. Am I really going to craft a quest rogue? Because I know that he's really good at that deck, so I might just have to. So go check it out again, thehappyhearthstone.com/contribute, and you can help support the show through a great product over at Gamer Sensei. So let's go ahead and jump into our main topic. We have got a lot to talk about when it comes to the meta. And I have to precede everything that I'm about to say by saying that things are just crazy right now. And honestly, it's in a good way, but it's also kind of rough, if I'm really honest. And I shared this with some of the patron-exclusive content, the blog that we mentioned in the last episode, just about your mindset and how truly this is a time when you need to give yourself enough grace to not do well in the game. And it's really easy to look at Twitter or, I mean, any social media. Let's take a step back from Hearthstone for a sec. It's really easy to look at social media and see all of your friends' or family's highlights, and your brain is constantly consumed by your behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? So you see their highlight reel and you compare it to your day where you're struggling, you know, or maybe, you know, you see that friend post their perfect meal that they made with their husband and you're thinking, man, I don't have somebody that, you know, that I get to spend my life with, and I don't have great food like that right in front of me. And it makes it really tough. I think that's why a lot of psychologists really look at social media and say, I don't know if this is the best thing. And even in the microcosm of Twitter in Hearthstone or Google Plus in Hearthstone, it's easy to see people bragging on kind of what they do well and if they had a really good day on the ladder and stuff, and compare it to your run where you could not win a game to save your life. Maybe you went straight from rank 12 all the way down to the rank floor at 15, and you know your friend got their personal best of rank 2 for the first time, and you're saying, well, I'm playing the exact same deck. I've been playing longer than you. You know, I don't know what your story is. So this is a time where you have to give yourself grace. And I really want to give a shout out to Orange for being really transparent on Twitter this past week. He tweeted out, "Today my win rate in Hearthstone has been about 30%. Just one of those days you can't win with anything, it feels like. Just wanted to post this as a reminder that a lot of us are struggling when all you see on Twitter are people that get top ranks with new decks." And I really appreciate him doing that. It's one of the first tweets of that kind from a professional player that really speaks to all of us, that even the people who are the best of the best in this game struggle from day to day. For him to get 30% is not something that he's proud of, I'm sure, but he's giving himself enough grace in the day to say, my ability in this game is not dictated exactly by my win rate. Win rates are finicky. They are, you know, comprised of a million different things. But at the end of the day, to just look at did I win or did I lose, that's a part of the information. You know what I'm saying? What I really mean by that is, you know, when you're playing Spiteful Druid, since that's the deck I've been playing quite a bit of lately, and you have two Spiteful Summoners and two Ultimate Infestations in your hand on turn 4. That is not a game you can win, pretty much. And you may have mulliganed exactly correctly, but this kind of RNG is impossible to overcome. Or maybe you made the right choice after like 20 games of seeing, you know, half of your losses are against Warlock and think, man, I really need to choose a deck that combats Warlock well. And then you won't see a Warlock for the next 50 games and you'll just keep on losing. Those things happen. So more than anything, I want you to hear, we'll talk about what's strong and what's not, and we'll even look at the data. But at the end of the day, you've got to give yourself grace. If you are not doing as well as you historically do, it's okay. You will get better, you will learn, and especially when things are so turbulent as they are right now at the very beginning of an expansion, it's okay. Everybody is going to experience that to some level. So you are not alone. Orange is on your side. I'm on your side. And you don't have to think poorly of yourself on that. So with that, let me look at some of the decks I've been playing since the beginning. So I'm checking this out in my Trackobot stats since April. Oh, I actually put the wrong date on here. I put April 13th. I got to put April 12th to the 24th. Okay. So So I'm comprising all of the games that I've played that I have tracked. I've played some games on my phone. And looking at this, I've actually had 86 wins and 85 losses. So that's a 50.3% win rate, which Wikigood and I were just talking before I started recording. Actually, 50% is pretty good right now. So I gotta be thankful for that. So you guys know I've been playing a lot of Spiteful Druid. I wish that I could break this down based off of the deck list I've used, because I've tooled around with a ton of different things, obviously. The list that I've really settled on is one that runs Dragon Package with Primordial Drakes, Twilight Drakes, Cobalt Scalebanes, and then it runs Scale Worms to take advantage of that. And I think Scale Worm is so, so strong. That's the 4-mana 4/4 beast that gains +1 attack and rush if you're holding a dragon in your hand. Assuming that you have that dragon, this is always the answer for Tar Creeper, like every single time. And when your opponent thinks that they're kind of stopping you, Scale Worm can kind of tip the scales. I just kind of stumbled right into that one for you. So I'm really enjoying that deck list. I am running Tink Master over Spark, which is really fun. And it's more of a fun card than truly helping me. But there are the games when there's an empty board and they just play a Possessed Lackey, and I don't care if it's a 1-1 or a 5-5. He's less threatening that way. So I'll play my Tink Master and be in a good place. So with Spiteful Druid overall, like considering all the decks I've played, I've got a 55% win rate with that. So it's by far the deck I've had the most success with. And I think with this list especially, I'm probably somewhere closer to a 58 or 60% win rate. I could be wrong because I'm kind of guessing there. But certainly all of the streaks that I've seen on my win runs and stuff like that are from this deck list. So I'm gonna keep putting in some time. Honestly, I'm not really enjoying that list so much because it is a bit, I don't know. It just does. It's like if I draw a Spiteful Summoner and still have an Ultimate Infestation in the deck, I can win pretty early. And if I don't, I might struggle. Kel'Seth is sort of an extra. I don't think that he's really the win or loss of the game. So another interesting thing, a deck that I spent some good time with was Even Shaman. I am loving Even Shaman. I feel like it's such a fun deck, and I don't even understand why, honestly. But the Murkspark Eel, the 2-mana 2/3 that deals 2 damage, is super strong. And you can just do a lot of damage in a short amount of time by just building up a board of totems. The Flame Tongue Totem can help you trade everything. Getting the Corpse Takers down is usually insanely punishing to aggro decks especially. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and it's a really fun deck. That's actually my highest win rate. I played 24 games with it. It had a 58% win rate. So that's enough that I can, I think, firmly say, you know, that the deck is pretty good. And looking across these other decks that I've kind of played with, a lot of them were sort of just trial and error, play a few games here and there. Q-Block is probably the only other one I've put some time with. But honestly, I've got a 40% win rate with that out of the 20 games that I played. So did not have the best experience, even though I know it's obviously a very strong deck. And in fact, looking at my opponents kind of tells a little bit more in that, and especially what you're seeing on the meta. So Q-Block is 26 of the games I've come up against. I think that's the highest amount of a deck that And I was 13-13 against Q-Block over all of my games. So these other Warlocks may actually be thrown in there. So that would skew it to a 15-14. So just barely eking out wins there, you know. So the only other one that really comes up a bunch is Spiteful Druid also, 12-13. Again, it's kind of similar where I feel like they just win if they have the Spiteful Priest or the Spiteful. You have a Spiteful Priest in your Spiteful Druid list, the Spiteful Summoner. If they have that before you do and you're in a mirror match, that's kind of the game. So, really close win rate there at 48% against Spiteful Druid. And it is just soup to nuts about what I've faced on here. We've got Face Hunter, Taunt Warrior, Secret Mage, Face Hunter, I think I already said that, Zoo Warlock, Paladins, all over the place. And, you know, I was actually surprised to see less paladins. I think we all feel like even an odd paladin are very strong and they're very prevalent across the board right now. But looking at all of the paladin decks I faced, because I don't know that I qualified these as well as I possibly could have. Let's see, 4 and 13. So 9 and 15 against paladins overall, which is not great. So paladin is kind of a deck to beat right now. I guess that if it is 9 and 15, that's 24. So that's right in line with Q-Block and Spiteful Druid for the top decks that I've come up against. So, and for reference, I probably should have said that I started the climb, I think, at rank 4. I've dropped down to rank 5, and now I'm at rank 3 and 0 stars. So I think rank 3 is my highest so far. I would love to hit Legend this month, but I'm really not going to put the pressure on myself because there's so much to learn right now. And if I can concentrate my efforts on figuring stuff out rather than grinding enough games, I think that that's going to be better for me in the long run. So that's a lot of what I've done. I want to actually talk about a new report that I'm going to throw in here, which is, of course, from what I mentioned before with HS Replay. So HS Replay aggregates data also. They haven't really done full-on meta reports because you go to their website and they have a lot of live data that you can look at. A million different deck lists. You can compare win rates, when cards are mulliganed, how, you know, the percentages of wins from there and stuff. And Chanman has started coming out with some these articles called Meta Pulse. So he's kind of taking a pulse on a day-by-day basis of sort of what things look like. So got to take these with a grain of salt, but we'll look at HS Replay, we'll look at Vicious Syndicate, and we'll look at Tempo Storm, and then kind of aggregate it all into one report here. So what HS Replay did with this Meta Pulse is they broke down what are the top five class decks, the top five performing decks in different classes with at least 1,000 games in rank 10 to Legend in the past 24 hours, and they published this on the 21st. So we'll talk briefly about the kind of their live tier report, but this could be even different as I'm talking to you or as you're hearing my voice right now. So tier one lists are decks that had a 56 or 57% win rate or above. And right now they've got Even Paladin, Odd Paladin, Murloc Paladin, and Spiteful Druid in there. So those are kind of the overarching things that they've seen doing really well. It was really interesting looking at the top five class decks, though. So they kicked it off with an Even Paladin. It seems like Even Paladin really kind of is getting the edge over Odd Paladin, and I appreciate how Ridiculous Hat has been talking about it in the like 20 different podcasts I've heard him on this past week. But he really drilled it into my brain, so now I can't think about it any other way. That with the Even, you know, the hero power at one, it's like 50% off. And with the Odd, with Baku, the Odd decks, upgrading your hero power, it's sort of a buy one, get one free because you're paying the same price, but you're getting double. And the half price is always a better deal because you don't have to buy two if you don't want to. You can just get the one. So Even Paladin really is proving a bit that it's just got an edge there. So that was number one. Number two was a Spiteful Druid list, pretty standard. This isn't the one I was talking about. This one runs Crypt Lords and Druid of the Scythe. Crypt Lord has been a pretty common include in Spiteful Druid these days, which is interesting. And actually, I've had a tough time breaking through them often. So I think the big thing is in those Even or Odd Paladin matchups, they just have to run all of their tokens into your Crypt Lord. And it's just a hard stop, basically, unless they can Spellbreaker it. But you've got some bigger minions that are going to come down and do some damage with Spiteful Druid. So the third deck on here is Murloc Paladin. Really interesting to see that kind of take on. We thought that with Vilefin Inquisitor that Murloc Paladin wouldn't see nearly as much play. But it seems to be doing just fine even without that. So people are teching in a Lost in the Jungle instead. Nightmare Amalgam is finding a place in here because a 3-mana 3/4 Murloc is pretty dang good. And most of the other stuff is stuff we've seen before. Some people are running Vine Cleavers. Really interesting to see that list doing so well. The next one totally threw me for a loop. This is an odd warrior deck, and this is not an odd quest warrior. It's just an odd warrior. So it runs Baku, which will upgrade your hero power, but that's still really good on its own. It means that you are gaining 4 life no matter where your health total is at every single turn. And it runs some rush minions, so it runs 2 copies of Rabid Worgen, which is a 3-mana 3/3 with rush, runs Darius Crowley, and then it has 2 copies of Town Crier to pull those out. There's a lot of taunts in here too, such as the Stonehill Defenders and a copy of Direhorn Hatchling. There's Baron Geddon in here. King Mosh is actually in this list, which if you don't remember, I don't blame you for. he's the 9-mana minion that destroys all damaged minions. So there's a lot of board clear with, you know, with King Mosh, with Baron Geddon, with 2 copies of Brawl. You've got 2 copies of Whirlwind and your Shield Slams. There's just a lot to kind of deal with things. Oh, and Reckless Flurry is in here, which if you're creating armor every single turn, you really don't care that much about just, getting rid of all of it because you'll just get it back really quickly. And who knows what you can get off those Stonehill Defenders, but if you're getting another Direhorn Hatchling or the Tar Lords, there's a lot of class-specific stuff that you can get, and of course plenty of neutrals that are fine too. I had not seen this list before I read this report, and I'm actually really, really interested in it. I don't have King Mosh, that's the one thing I was missing, but I also found another list that runs Azalina Soul Thief, which I haven't gotten to mess around with yet, but I think I'm going to try it out and see how it does. So I'm really excited to try out this list and see if it really is kind of the paladin killer that it kind of seems like it is. And the fifth one to round out those top 5 decks is Quest Rogue. Oh boy, this one is really creating a lot of strife for people in the Hearthstone community. So it's been around for a while, and we thought that with Gadgets and Ferryman rotating out of standard, that Quest Rogue wasn't really going to be a problem. But the inclusion of Vicious Scalehide being a rush minion that has lifesteal is a really big deal, because once that thing becomes a 5/5, a lot of times you're kind of barely hanging on the edge as Quest Rogue when you're able to finally get that quest complete, but he can bring you back. And in fact, if you're not struggling, then he's just going to keep you strong, as it were, right? Sony's Shadow Dancer does some work. I'm honestly like just flabbergasted that this deck is so much stronger now than it was a few months ago. I think the big deal is that it's a very aggressive combo deck, so it's very quick in what it's trying to do, and because there are slower decks like Spiteful Druid, I guess that's really the only one I even see on this list, because the even decks are pretty aggressive too. Q-Block, I guess, is the other one that this can really that Quest Rogue can really punish. It's so fast. Wax Elemental is able to stop your opponent with all of their little tokens dinkling around. So like I mentioned, I don't have the quest, so I'm not playing this right now. I know many of you probably hate coming up against this deck, so you won't touch it. And then there are some of you guys who love this deck, and now is your time to play it. So I hope that you're getting as much out of it as you possibly can. So those are the top 5 decks according to them. It was also interesting to see, as far as class popularity, they saw that Druid is the most played class overall, and actually had a huge increase in people playing it, up to 17.9%. So I have seen a lot of Spiteful Druid lately. So that and Warlock and Paladin are the top 3 right now as far as what people are wanting to play. So I know that was a lot of data right now, but we're going to look at some more data. And this is from our friends over at Vicious Syndicate. And they published an early days report. They really wanted to feel more comfortable with kind of what it looks like the data is saying in big terms. So they just came out with what they see as the 5 the 5 strongest decks that are performing at legend ranks. So this may not apply to those of us who aren't there, but obviously what's happening at Legend is going to affect the entire game. So we can still look at this as sort of what's to come, or also what's informing a lot of people right now. So their top 5 were Cube Warlock. So of course we knew that was going to be that that was going to be something that's very powerful, and it continues to prove to be that. So that is present. Even Paladin, which we just talked about, Murloc Paladin is there as well. Spiteful Druid and Quest Rogue. So very close in those. I'm really surprised to see HS Replay not saying Cube Warlock is up there. And obviously it's just the different data sets are saying different things. And you know, they were looking at rank 10 to legend, and especially just in the legend that Vicious Syndicate is looking at here, Cube Warlock is a deck that's been around for a while, so a lot of top tier players know how to play it. They know what the deck needs and wants, and just far less experimentation happening or needing to come into play with that deck archetype especially. So it does make sense. And, you know, if it's a deck that you had prior to the expansion coming out, and, you know, maybe you're a budget player who doesn't have a lot of dust sitting around, it's a great choice. And it's very strong against a lot of what's out there right now, especially when you can get the crazy middle game. I mean, it's really turns like 5 through 8 that you can kind of close out a game. I've had plenty of times where you know, just having the Blood Reaver Gul'dan on turn 10 is enough to just, you know, just stop the game completely. So yeah, not a ton to add from that, but interesting to see a lot of the same things in there as well. And then Tempo Storm, of course, the first full-blown report to come out since Witchwood has been revealed, and really interesting to see their thoughts here. So again, this is compiled based more off of feeling than data. They've got some incredible pros who contribute to this. People like Ant, Racy, Jablal, BB Gun, some great, great players at this game who get together and really think through, okay, what are we seeing? What do we, you know, what do we experience on the ladder? And letting those kind of dictate what they see as the strongest decks in the metagame right now. So their tier one comprises of Even Paladin, Q-Block, Spiteful Druid, Murloc Paladin, and Odd Paladin. Quest Rogue just kind of squeezes into the very top of tier two. So, you know, again, we're seeing a lot of the same stuff here. Them saying that Even Paladin is really kind of heading the pack is interesting. There's been plenty of people who have been hitting Legend, making it. I know that Tyler Rooted, I think is how you say his name. He's really come out with an Even Paladin list that's kind of been the standard. Orange came out with one that sort of changed some things up this past week with like Life Use Stegodons and Avenging Wrath that seem to be really, really popular right now as well. When you're looking at Even Paladin, your decks that you're going to do especially well against are things like Face Hunter and Quest Rogue and Taunt Druid, Tempo Rogue even. Even Paladin is just able to create a lot of minions that have to be dealt with quickly. And unless you have something like a Hellfire or a Dustbreaker, it's really tough to break up the Imani Berserkers and the Knife Jugglers and pretty much everything you can get out of Call to Arms, because, you know, we've known Call to Arms is been really powerful ever since Kobold's released. And Odd Paladin has been really good for what it is. But it sacrifices that one card, and it's significant enough that I think that alone really sets up Even Paladin to be a better strategy overall. So being able to bring out the Knife Jugglers and the Direwolf Alphas and, you know, just some good stuff from there. And actually, Wicked Good sent me a list that ran Spiteful Summoners and Dino Size, which I thought was especially spicy and really fun. So there's still plenty of experimentation happening there, but those are kind of what we're seeing so far. So looking through all of these, is there one deck that really rises to the top? It's hard to say. It's super early, and honestly, the best thing that you can do right now, I think, as far as your Have a Happy Time deck of the week, is playing what you can. And I hate to be so obtuse, I'll actually give you a recommendation in a sec, but I just have to keep coming back to this. You need to have fun while you're playing this game. If you're not having fun, you're not playing the game right. It is a game, and it's meant to have fun with. So play the decks that you enjoy, even if it's just going to casual and playing on there for a while. That's okay. I actually had to remind myself of that yesterday. I really wanted to play some Even Shaman, but I didn't feel confident enough to go onto the ladder with it. I just swapped over to casual and I had a great time. And I came up against a lot of different deck lists that I typically wouldn't. And it was fun to play against them. So play what you're enjoying. And then if you're looking to get onto the ladder, play what you can with the least amount of dust spent. And we always recommend that you hold on to your dust as long as you possibly can so that the meta has enough time to shake out, settle a little bit, and we can confidently say, here's the cards that you really need, the decks that are really rising to the top, even in this list where several of them are, you know, replicated from across different sources. We still don't know what's going to be discovered this week or next week. I know there's been plenty of talk around like a mid-range Shudderwalk Shaman list, and that's not the combo list that we saw right off the bat, because that has not been doing well overall. But something that's more of a mid-rangey, very heavy on the elemental synergy. And so it's going to take some time to see, does that come to the top? You know, this Odd Warrior list that I saw, who knows, it could be extremely strong. It's just not getting enough of the limelight, as stuff like Even Paladin is right now, to really know. But the safe crafts at this point really are Baku and Gen, because those two they're going to enable you to a lot of different archetypes, and several of them are really rising to the top. You know, Even Paladin may be the big winner as far as either of those archetypes, but we didn't talk about Odd Rogue. We didn't talk about Odd Hunter. And we still got a lot of time between now and when the meta has settled to truly be, understand. So those cards in particular are going to help you long term. And so I would tell you that if you have the dust and you really want to craft them, go for it. But pretty much everything else you want to hold back on still. I know I was even tempted with that Odd Warrior list to craft King Mosh, but it was like, King Mosh is only around for another year, and he has not been playable until now. And I don't even know if this deck is necessarily good. So I have to find the different ways to, the different cards that'll stack in there just fine. And actually, I have to recommend to you hsreplay.net. So if you go in there and you find one of those archetypes that you really like, it'll show you all similar lists to whatever their highest or most popular deck is. And so that's how I found the Azalina Soul Thief, and there's plenty of other things that can give you recommendations in different deck lists. So you can play an archetype where maybe you're missing one or two cards, something like that. So go check that out. And I will tell you guys that obviously Even Paladin is strong, but my recommendation is still going to be Spiteful Druid. Being able to cheat out a win, Barnes taught us, is enough for a deck archetype to be valid. And right now, Spiteful Druid is that. So if you are on the Spiteful Summoner hate list, I apologize. But I would say that because those lists are, going to high roll so many times, it really is going to help your possibilities all the more. So, and seeing it on every single one of these lists just tells you, like, yeah, there's plenty out there. So if you're seeing a ton of Spiteful Druid and you need to figure out how to counter it, I will tell you that Murloc Paladin is probably going to be your best bet for that. So if you're seeing a ton of Spiteful Druid and you just need to shut her down, get your Murlocs on board and go for it. I still have yet to craft those Nightmare Amalgams. I really want to, and I think that they're pretty safe to craft, but I just don't want to dump all of my dust down the drain quite yet. So go get yourself the deck that you're having fun with and play it and enjoy the game, because we don't get a meta that's this insane very often. So I hope you truly are enjoying it. Don't hold yourself back from it. Jump in and let me know what's working out for you on Twitter or on Google+, because I'm excited to see the crazy things that you've got going for you. And in fact, I actually want to shout out a few friends on Twitter. So I threw out the question of which decks are you finding the most success with? Or I think I actually asked, which ones are you enjoying the most so far? Big difference there. And the Crosshair shot back 300 HP Rogue, which I was like, what in the world is that? And he shot me this list that that he's been creating. It is really, really cool. So you definitely need to check it out on my Twitter. If you look at my replies and stuff, the crosshair comes up with some really interesting lists. So really appreciative of you sending that over. It's a wild Reno rogue, which is just crazy. Matt at Arms said that he keeps going back to Rush Warrior and mid-range Shudderwalk Shaman mentioned earlier. And he said that Kibler's got a really good Rush Warrior list. So I'm definitely eager to try that out. Ridiculous Hat said Even Shaman, Keliseth Walk Shaman, Kathrina Hunter, and Miracle Rogue, obviously. I've actually come up against quite a few Miracle Rogues in the past couple of days, and they have not made the ladder fun? Winning? I have not won against them, like, at all, so seems pretty good. Robobson said Control Mage, Control Warlock, and Spiteful Druid, so you're heavy on the control there, man, and it seems like Cube Warlock, the way that it's changed, I think I'll be talking about this for patrons this week. It has been kind of more of that control style, so cool to see that. And then I had Prince Liam say that Spiteful Druid because it got him to his new personal best at rank one, so congrats on that, man. That's really cool. Congratulations on getting there. Had a couple more here. Nefarious said Cube Warlock because pulling out a 9-drop on 5 is fun and balanced. Yeah. I saw, I think it was Teebs, actually, who mentioned on Twitter that if he could change Void Lord, he would just change it to a legendary. I think that that would make it quite a bit more balanced. So, but I agree. That's kind of an easy way to win those games. And James Waddell said Gen Shaman and Baku Hunter haven't played much of the other decks yet. Yeah, both of those are going to be pretty good. So thanks for everyone for responding to that. Really appreciate you always coming back and letting me know what your answers are to the questions in the world. If you ever do have a question for the show, I'd be happy to answer it on air. You can just email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com or shoot me a tweet on Twitter at @AndrewIsLiving. I'll be happy to talk about whatever you want. And if you didn't catch it, we pretty much are in our community section now. So those are our questions, and we had an iTunes review this past couple weeks. So I realized we kind of left those out of the show. So thank you so much to OggsHS. The title of this one was Listen Now! ! This is always a great podcast, but there's never been a better time to listen. The imminent Witchwood expansion and rotation has left many in a sort of purgatory. Andrew the Happy Hearthstone and Steve from Off Curve have teamed up to provide an overview of all the goodies we can expect in the new set, highlighting key interactions and potential combos. This will better prepare you to start deck building on day one while satisfying that Hearthstone itch you've been dying to scratch but just can't. So thank you so much to Oggs for leaving that. I'm so glad. I hope that you enjoyed the review episodes. I was feeling what you were feeling, that it was sort of a purgatory in between sets. But now we're living in the good old days of when things are absolutely crazy out there. So I'm glad the reviews were able to sort of bridge the gap for you. If you have not left an iTunes review yet, I would so appreciate it if you did. I actually realized this past week I got to stop calling it iTunes reviews because it's Apple Podcasts now. Technically, it's actually been that for several months, I think, maybe even a year. I don't know. So if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, it helps other people who are searching for Hearthstone Podcast to find us. It takes 2 to 5 minutes. You know, if you've got an iTunes account already, it's super, super simple. But even if you don't, it just takes a few minutes to set one up and leave that. And it will, it seriously helps to boost the show quite a bit when people are out there searching for something. If you want them to find the Happy Hearthstone when they're searching, that's how you can help them do that. So thanks to OggsHS. Thanks to everyone who has done it. And I can't wait to read out a couple more next week from those of you who decide to do that. Okay, guys, it's time for Card of the Week. Have you noticed that, like, I've been working really hard to make sure my Cards of the Week are just like prime real estate for you? I do this because I love you guys. I want you to have the best experience possible. So I actually chose a bit of a deep cut. I didn't actually know this song very well, so I learned it. And some of you will be appalled that I don't know it very well. But hopefully you get the deeper levels of jokes in this one. So here we go. Let's kick it off. You can imagine some ambient guitar sounds here. I never thought I'd actually consider crafting you. I never thought you'd actually see any play. But now all the one-cost cards in my deck are screaming. They wanna be transformed into a bunch of orange legendaries. 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 Prince Liam only wanted to see a deck of redemptions turn into a deck of orange legendaries. He never even wanted to be the card of the week. But he is. Prince Liam is our card of the week. And Prince Liam is a 5-mana, 5/5 legendary paladin minion. His battle cry reads, transform all one-cost cards in your deck into legendary minions. Andrew, you're doing this solo cast show. Why are you picking Prince Liam as card of the week? You guys just talked about him in your show, rated him like poo-poo, and now you're bringing him up as card of the week. Yes, that's accurate. And the big reason I am is because I stumbled across a deck list that, according to HS Replay, is doing pretty dang well. Really interesting to me. It has, at the time of this recording, a 58% win rate. And that's over 11,000 games that it says it's tracked with this specific deck list. And this deck list runs Secret Keepers. It runs Repentance, Redemption, Noble Sacrifice, Argent Squire, Righteous Protectors. Those are kind of all of the one-cost cards. And then it runs kind of your typical sort of even paladin or aggro paladin variant with Knife Jugglers, Direwolf Alphas, Hydrologists. You've got a couple Divine Favors, Unidentified Mauls. You've got the Bellringer Sentry, which is the 4-mana 3/4 that Battlecry and Deathrattle puts a secret from your deck in the battlefield. Runs Call to Arms, obviously. And then it's got Prince Liam, Sunkeeper Tareem. And it also runs the Glass Knight, which is the other Paladin Legendary. So, honestly, Prince Liam is card of the week because I am appalled that this deck exists. And I'm even more speechless that it's doing so well. I have yet to try it because I refuse to craft him. But I really wanted to put it out there for all of you guys that if you have Prince Liam, are you willing to try this deck and let me know how it goes? Because I it's bugging me that this deck is doing well. And it's kind of a new secret paladin, basically. I really think he gets a bad rep in some ways, and I think we talked about this when we talked about him on the review episodes, but Elise Starseeker was able to transform your whole deck and hand into legendary minions. This is just your deck and just the one-cost cards in your deck. So it's less value, but Elise Starseeker was considered really, you know, your ability to close out the game. And I wonder if Prince Liam's reliability is higher than we would expect. And crafting those random legendaries actually ends up being enough for you to be able to win the game. So I'm going to put the deck list in the show notes. Check this out. If you have it, would you be willing to try it? And write in and let me know how it goes. Because I really want to hear from some people who actually have some experience with this list. I'll tell you, it says on here that it's doing especially well against Priest, Hunter, and Druid, but it's got high win rates across the board. It's really struggling against Warlock and Paladin, and those are pretty common. So try it out. Let me know how it goes. I don't think I want Secret Paladin to be a thing, but I'm really interested to see how possible this deck is. So we will go ahead and close out the episode. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me as I really wade through the unease of the insanity of the beginning of the expansion of this game of Hearthstone. It's an exciting time, but it's also very muddy. There's not really a very clear path for here's what you need to do and here's exactly what the data's saying. But it's good to see several decks kind of popping up again and again. That gives us a bit more solidity that for now, those are really the strong things to look at. But honestly, who knows what's going to be strong in a week or 2 weeks or even more. So I will close by letting you guys know, as always, that you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you. It is sustained by you. And there are so many great ways to be able to support what we're doing. I want to ask you that, if this is your first episode that you've ever listened to, I'm just super thankful that you come hang out. I'd ask you to just come back again next week. We'll have another episode and just let this kind of be a community that you start to find yourself in. If this is something that you look forward to every single week, would you be willing to consider what it might mean to truly take on the mantle of being the happy Hearthstone? And that can be done by leaving a review on iTunes, by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. We're really close to another goal, and we're only going to get there if you jump in. So I'm really thankful for those of you. I've had a couple new patrons this month and hoping to see a couple more come in before the end of the month. So if you've been thinking about it, go check it out. Starting at $1 a month, you can be a part of helping us to grow. And I have to send a huge thank you to the producers of the Happy Hearthstone, Jordan L., Red Knight, and Risen. Thank you guys so much for supporting us at the highest level. I know each one of you guys have been having a blast starting out. Risen has gotten a legend super quick. And Jordan and Red Knight have been coming out with some really cool decks and stuff. So I've been learning a lot from them personally, seeing Jordan. Both of them are fellow competitors in the United Hearthstone League, actually. And so I'll actually be facing off against Red Knight this week on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So if you want to come and see us, that'll be a lot of fun. And I think Jordan and I are set up for the next week. So, it's going to be like back-to-back producer week. So, but really, the three of you guys being all in to help support the show and help it grow, it means more to me than you know. I think about it often, just how much you guys believe in the show. So thank you for supporting at the level that you do. And also, new way that you can contribute now, if you have not gone and checked out the new website at thehappyhearthstone.com, you really, really need to. I am super proud of that. Mark and the team at Esportsium have been just massive in helping to pull that off. And I've been learning a lot through the process too. So go and check it out. You can go to thehappyhearthstone.com/contribute to specifically see different ways that you can support the show. So there's a link to the Apple Podcasts part of the Happy Hearthstone. And the Patreon, you can get that link to Gamer Sensei if that's something that interests you. Also, I'm looking for people who would be willing to contribute articles for the Happy Hearthstone's website. I'll be coming out with some stuff on there that's exclusive for you guys. If you kind of have a writing itch and you've been wanting to kind of get out there, shoot me a tweet or an email and let me know what you'd like to write about, and we can work together on something. So really excited to kind of launch that out and continue to grow our community, because that's what this show is all about. So as always, I'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added to the show for future episodes. And you can get a hold of me in a million different ways. Our Google Plus community continues to thrive. There's been a lot of talk with the new expansion of deck lists and cool stuff that's happening there. So you can find that link in the show notes. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/AndrewIsLiving. Not on there nearly as often as I'd like, but it's another way you can support the show. If you have Amazon Prime, you can go subscribe. And it's basically leaving a tip that way. You also get an awesome Andrew Champ emote if you haven't seen that. So, I mean, it's not completely donation. You're getting something pretty cool there. So we've also got a YouTube channel with a few videos on there that you can find the link to at the website. And follow me on Twitter at AndrewsLiving, the show at the Happy HS. And that is just about everything I can possibly vomit on you. I will tell you, the one thing about doing these solo casts and still shooting for about an hour for an episode is that it feels like I have said a lot. You know why that is? Because I have said a lot. So imagine that. But guys, I'm really excited about this game right now. Really exciting time to be here. And I'm realizing at the end, I really blanked on giving much of a shout out to United Hearthstone League. So definitely go check it out. UnitedHearthstoneLeague.com. Go check out the match with me and Red Knight on Thursday night. And there's there's so many matches happening throughout the week and some great casters like Wicked Good and Bodicus and some other new friends. So you can go there and check out the schedule, see the matches that are coming up this week, and watch most of them on the official Twitch channel, twitch.tv/UnitedHearthstoneLeague or HS League. Not sure. Go to their website. You'll find it there. So Thank you guys so much for sticking in with us. Love you guys. Love this community. Love this game. And seriously, this podcast is here for you. So thank you so much for coming to the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you guys again next time.